You're listening to the Five Leadership Questions Podcast, special edition. It's Pipeline Week, and it's the last day.
It is.
It's the last day, Daniel.
But after so this sorry. Finishes, we can go collect some seashells.
Seashells?
Yeah, seashells.
Why?
Because do you want to waste your life? Do you want to waste your life? Or you want to waste your life about? And get seashells? I'm talking about John Piper, man.
Oh, gosh. I was like, where on earth are you going with this?
Oh, I was going somewhere with it. Because John Piper is speaking at our conference.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Bob Russell.
Yeah. Piper. H.B. Charles. Dr. Rayner. Mm. Dr. Geiger.
Although Dr. Rayner is the only one who gets called Dr.
Yeah.
Around
which
here
he kind of has a problem with sometimes.
What do you mean?
He's like, why do people call me doctor? I'm like, well, maybe because you have lots of authority and you wear sport coats.
Okay, so let me reverse engineer this. So if I wear a sport coat.
And you have lots of authority.
Then you could be called doctor.
If you have a doctorate.
Yeah, yes. If you have a doctorate. Okay.
And he was a seminary professor for a long time.
It's true. All right, so this week, we have overviewed Pipeline, right? We have every single day this week, we've revisited our foundational content as it relates to 5LQ, as it relates to Lifeway Leadership, as it relates to the foundation of our upcoming conference, Pipeline, Succession at Every Level. And what's really neat about this entire week is, yes, it was content from last year, but we need to keep on coming back to it over and over
philosophy
again.
And framework is, it was really foundational to everything we do. So we wanted to bring that out. Because when people look at this lineup, they look at John Piper, they look at Bob Russell, they look
at
Vander Blumen, who wrote Next. Mm.
Tammy Heim that ran Borders.
Yes, when it was good.
Yeah, when it was good.
Now she runs Christian Leadership Alliance, and she does a great job over there. Mm. That's for Christian nonprofits. But when people look at that lineup, they think, oh, this is about succession at the top level. Mm. When the reality is, you will never be able to replace your top leader with someone from within your organization if you don't have a pipeline in place.
Yep.
So that's why it's important to have succession at every level so that, you know, someday, hopefully a long time from now, when you replace the leader at the top level, they can come with from within.
Yeah, exactly. So be sure to listen deeply into this podcast, into the ones from this past week, because we do have a special promo going on for this month. It's 5LQ25. So if you go to myleadershippipeline.com, then that code 5LQ25 will get you 25% off not only our day, but our pre-coaching day. You know, our pipeline coaching day, our succession coaching day, the entire thing. And in a couple weeks, we're going to be having another webinar leading up to the conference with Vander Blumen.
Right. And this one, today's episode is all about content. Mm. And so, again, remember, we're about a map and not a menu. So when you come to the conference, you're going to hear people talking about the six categories from our framework: discipleship, strategy, vision, stewardship, people development, collaboration, like all those things. And the reason why that's important is because we, in addition to providing you with a great conference and a great philosophy, we load all that up onto Grid.
Yeah.
And we have Paul Tripp come in and talk about what are the competencies for a volunteer? What are the competencies in discipleship for a leader, a ministry director, and a senior leader in a church? So all that very deep. Very, very deep. So you've got like 30 some segments that is just on that one swim lane.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, so when we talk about content, we're not talking about, oh, I have a 9-session course or a 12-session course that I've developed. No, it is, oh my goodness, we spent 2 years and got the best people in the best categories to walk through the competencies very specifically and strategically at every level.
Yeah. So we haven't talked about this on the podcast yet.
What?
Go to ministrygrid.com.
Oh, yeah.
/ coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, we're not going to, let's not talk about it. Just go to ministrygrid.com/coming soon. Coming soon.
See it
You're
going
to be surprised.
For the first time.
For the first time. ministrygrid.com/coming soon.
All right. I think that's a great place to wrap up. Let's get started.
This is our last Leadership Pipeline Podcast.
Man, it's so sad.
I know.
It's going like, so quickly.
I feel like we should have some sort of violin music playing or something.
You could dub that over.
That's true. Jeremy Spencer's a genius. He probably can play the violin too. Who knows?
I know he plays the drums.
I know. Well, they're not really similar.
But, no.
But
not at all.
Maybe we need some sad music. But this is our fifth and final Leadership Pipeline Podcast. And what we will be talking about today is the training content aspect of a Leadership Pipeline. So we've looked at systems and structures and people. We've looked at the overall concept of what is a pipeline. Now we're looking at basically how do you train people in a pipeline? What kind of content? How do you use it? Those kinds of things. So let's hit our first question, and that is, what is the best content in a leadership pipeline, the best content to use, and then why is it so important to use really good content?
Well, the content is going to be what people learn, what they experience, what they know. And so if you have a pipeline, yeah, obviously all the people in the church can be in the pipeline based on where they serve and what level of development mm-hmm. they have. The structure is really important because it sets apart, here's how we train people in different places in the organization, different places in the ministry. But the content is, without content, you think about it, without content, I don't know what I'm going to talk to you about to train you.
Right. Yes.
Without content, I don't have a mechanism to actually develop you. And so I have put down three aspects, I think, of content. Todd, you've spent a lot of time on this, but it's really, when you look through scripture and Jesus investing in his disciples, you really do see all three of these, and that's knowledge, experiences, and coaching, right? So knowledge, you see Jesus with his disciples, and he's constantly pulling them away from the crowd and pouring into them more. There's even times when the crowd's there and he's not even speaking to the crowd. He's speaking to his disciples because he's got this brief window of time and he wants them to get all of the knowledge that he has for them to receive. And so even when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's ending his earthly ministry here, he's saying, I've given them everything that you gave me, Father, to give them. And so he had this short window and he wants to give them this knowledge, but he also gave them experiences. So he sent them out. There's multiple times in the Gospels where you see Jesus sending them out mm-hmm. to go and practice. So he, in Luke, when he calls them to himself, his disciples to himself, the scripture says, so they may be with him and they may be sent out to preach. So the sending them out is also a part of their development, mm-hmm. that they're being in a position where they minister and serve others is a part of their development. And then you also see them coming back and debriefing with Jesus and him then coaching and asking them questions and saying things like, hey, don't rejoice that the demons submit to you, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. So ultimately be more excited that you belong to me than you are that you're being in a position of this power and authority over the evil one. So you see knowledge, experiences, and coaching. So what does that mean? Let me break this down for you in a local church level. It would mean, okay, what do I want our people to hear, to know, knowledge? You know, so what should they read? What should they watch?
It's
what
a content exchange?
Yeah. That's the ultimately where the content piece comes.
Yeah,
in,
yeah.
The knowledge.
Knowledge. What do we want them to? What videos on Ministry Grid? If you use Ministry Grid as a tool, which is a great
Definitely.
Tool. Here's the six courses we want you to interact with. Here's the things that we want you to watch. Then experiences. So there are experiences already embedded into your pipeline. So someone who's a leader, someone who's a ministry director already has experiences. And then there's coaching, which is conversations with the person who is shepherding you. And the person who's coaching can have conversations with you about the content that's being delivered yes. to you, the knowledge that's being delivered to you, and also the experience that you're having as you're serving.
So I would say the reason why this is so important is that training in many organizations and many churches is really a cruise to nowhere. Because if you don't have, it's great that you have content. Everybody's got content. Google anything and you can find content. But it's what do you do? It's what content you choose and what you do with that content that matters most. You want to put content in a systematic way. You want to have a specific scope and sequence that you're guiding people through. And you know, one of the things that we'll talk about in just a little bit is competency. The idea of competency is basically having a displayed proficiency in something. So when you think about your leadership pipeline, in particular, the content in your leadership pipeline, you want to say, okay, what do I want my volunteers mm-hmm. in my church to know universally? So whether they're a volunteer in the kids area or they're an usher, what do I want to convey to them? Is it our vision and values? Is it, you know, and what are the other things that come into play? I would definitely say they should know your vision and values. But what are the other things that come into play? So dialing in specifically what you want for them at every single level is vitally important. So we would always take a step back and say every organization, every church needs a pipeline and every person needs a pathway.
That's good.
So what you have is universally, these are the core competencies that we have for every volunteer or every leader at our church. So it doesn't matter if they serve in kids and they serve in students and they are an usher, they have the same core right. content. But obviously, if they're in kids, they need an individual pathway
yeah.
for that level of learning and that specific role-based ministry. So role-based competencies as well. So you've got these core universal core competencies that every leader should know. And then, okay, they're a small group leader. So what specific right. things do they need to know?
And if just a quick word on that, if you go to ministrygrid.com/training pathways, you will see something like 20 areas of ministry laid out with those individual pathways in place for experienced leaders, beginner leaders, or and I'm staff. Sorry, beginner volunteers, experienced leaders, staff. So ministrygrid.com/training pathways, you can see some of the training we have in place that are those specific ministry specific stuff as opposed to the larger competency based stuff. Although we have some of that and we mentioned that at the top as well. Mm-hmm. Let's hit our second question, and that is where should churches start when auditing their training content? So looking at what they have now and how does it match their needs? What do they need to replace? What do they need to do fresh? What does that audit look like?
I'd start with competencies. So you have the different layers of leadership or the levels mm-hmm. of leadership. Okay, what competencies have we assigned to each level of leadership? And then do we have training that fits those competencies? And so that's one of the great things that you two and with the team of people you've worked with for a long time on this is, hey, here's competencies that we're hearing that local churches want and need from the leaders they're developing. And then here's training that goes along with those competencies. But obviously, we also know that each local church is unique and has their own context. And so you may want to add things to the competencies that are outlaid. You may want to add training that is just for you, you know, just for your people, that is contextualized there. But start with the competencies in each area and look to see where there's if you have enough training and appropriate training for all of the competencies. And then if there's a gap, then you just fill in the gap.
So we've talked a lot about this thing that we've developed, and I want to break it down for you really quickly. We'll, of course, have a link to this document on the show notes for this podcast. But really, when you look at it, the six categories of competency that we boiled down from 286 to six core competency areas were discipleship, vision, strategy, collaboration, people development, and stewardship. And I know those are pretty broad, and they're broad for a reason, because we were able to bring in all 286 and put them into one of those categories. Then we took that individual competency and made it a learning objective in one of those areas. So give you a for instance, Paul Tripp, he does our discipleship competencies. So he is speaking specifically to the volunteers at the volunteer level, and he lays out three learning objectives that they're going to learn. And then he systematically walks them through that. What you get when you're looking at that is you're also getting a guide that you can use to bring not only that knowledge transfer that just happened from Paul Tripp, but now you have an experience and you have also coaching that comes with that. So there may be a case study or homework or, you know, requiring you to go out and do this and then process that with someone. Because we truly believe that the competency-based learning, the difference between it and regular education is it's about what you've learned, not time. So current educational system, it is about how much time you spend learning something. That's right. The measurement of it. And competency-based learning is a proficiency or a mastery.
That's great.
You don't move forward until you show proficiency in that. Because we all know there's people that might take a course in conflict management.
And then they could check. You need to take that one.
That's I probably do. But they could check the box and they'd be done. No, if you've got the experience and coaching piece in there, that coach is the stop gap to say, no, that person quite hasn't mastered this yet before moving forward. So, I mean, that's both why it's important and really where to start is thinking with the end in mind. What's the destination that you want to take people to and what's the stops along the way?
So our next question is about aligning content across complex organizations. And we've touched on this in previous episodes about, you know, certain churches are very, very simple. But most churches are more complex than they look from the outside. Multiple areas of ministry, different things like that. So competencies, we have core competencies that are applicable in any area of ministry. We have those pathways that are specific, but what does alignment look like across complex organizations, different areas of ministry, those kinds of things?
We talked a little bit about this in structure. So you want common language for all the different layers of leadership.
Nomenclature. Across,
or nomenclature, which we've used that term before. You want common language. So I would say, let's use the leader part of the layer in leadership development. So there's a kids ministry, there's a missions ministry, there's a group ministry, there's a first impressions ministry, and you have leaders, someone who would fall in the leader category across all. Well, I would say that you do want everyone who's a leader in your church to go through the very, very similar training. I would say the same baseline training.
Yes.
So every leader here does have this knowledge. Mm-hmm. They have had these conversations. They've watched these videos. They've discussed these videos. And then you can add on top of the baseline, okay, well then here's some specific training for the first impressions person, some specific training for the children's ministry leader. But there is a baseline that is for everyone at our church who is a leader, here's training.
Yeah, and I would go ahead and say that the more complex the organization is, the more important it is to systematize things.
Because the more complex means typically the larger it is, and so you're going to have more movement into other departments. And if you don't have a baseline across all, then truly you're actually going to exasperate the silos.
Massively.
You're going to foster more of that.
And it becomes a stewardship issue as well. So you can get misaligned in your systems and ultimately misalignment in your culture. But then as well, it's just poor stewardship. Why on earth does, you know, so for us, when this push came to shove and we actually implemented Leadership Pipeline was around our third campus. So third campus comes in and man, just the wheels start to fall off everywhere. So that's when we're bringing in alignment. That's where we're bringing in alignment in our language. That's where we're bringing in alignment in our structure and our systems. And we had to in order to continue to do things. Because you'd have a campus who'd say, no, this is how we do preschool ministry. No, our church does preschool ministry this way. We understand you have a different diaper policy or a different check-in procedure, but that's no reason to throw out the way that we do preschool.
The baseline aspects.
So our next question is, this is one that's really, really important because it's come up a dozen times throughout this, and it is, simply, what is competency-based learning?
I thought your definition a moment ago, Ty, was really, really helpful. Why don't you thread that out?
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thread that out for
look
it,
at
man.
You.
That's good.
Look at this
good
conflict stuff. Management. Good stuff. Look at this.
I feel loved right now.
I feel like both of you are showing mastery in this.
Explain it further. You're talking about the difference in just the amount of time and then actually that someone has acquired these competencies.
Yeah. So typically, you know, in a traditional training model, it is one to many. It's a lecture format. It's a monologue. There is not a dialogue there. And when people look at what we're doing, you know, at first glance, they're like, oh, you're trying to digitize development or you're trying to digitize design.
Because we do video-based stuff.
Because we have a website.
Yeah, because we have a website. And I would even go as far as even in the last 6 months, Barnabas, I've changed my language from video-based to video-enhanced because I'm thinking about how do we equip the pastor to take what we've done, you know, to take what Paul Tripp has said about discipleship as an example, and how do we use that to actually have leadership transformation? How do we move from a transfer of information to transformation? And that's what competency-based learning is about. It's saying, I want to see a displayed proficiency in this particular skill, as an example. And how do I know if they've achieved that? So when we put together all this content, it is basically saying, okay, what does a volunteer need to know about vision at this level? And then we break down that further and say, what's the learning objective for this particular session? So at the end of this session, this person will be able to display a proficiency in X, Y, and Z.
Right.
It is going back and looking at that and having a specific scope and sequence for what all of us now have come together and believe, hey, this is what every leader at every church, this is the baseline that we think everybody should have, every leader at every church, every volunteer at every church, every ministry director, every senior leader. And that's not to say that's the end all be all. We're saying that this is the baseline.
Right.
You can add to that. We would encourage you to add to that and customize and contextualize that. But what we're saying is, hey, we've put in a lot of work to develop this content, and we're giving you a guide to go along with it. So it's not just a video.
I suspect that if you begin adding and subtracting from it, you will find that you've weakened it pretty dramatically, as you know, because what's there is pretty core and pretty foundational.
Yes.
An example of how this might look, and you can fill in my narrative as I go. Okay. So if you're trying to train small group leaders, the traditional way to do it is you say, who wants to be a small group leader? You go recruit small group leaders. They sign up. Who are they? We've seen them around church before. They seem like good people. Then you do a small group leader training. And if you're really rigorous, that might be like a whole day. If you're not so rigorous, it's probably an evening. And then they go lead a small group using whatever curriculum your church uses. So Bible studies, or they all pick their own thing, or it's a sermon-based study or whatever it is. And that's your training. And then maybe you meet once a month or once a quarter on a Sunday night with the small group leaders, and you do a little bit more training, a little bit more encouragement. But at no point is there a touching base and saying, are they actually competent small group leaders? Have they displayed a proficiency in anything to prove that they ought to be leading other people in this? So this, you can jump in and say, now in a competency-based model, what would it look like to put somebody in a position to be a small group leader?
Well, first of all,
example.
Yeah, in a competency-based structure, you would have identified somebody who was already in a group. Mm-hmm. The group leader would have identified that person. We would say, we give... I think five different templates for a small group for different roles within a small group. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the apprentice model, only we're sneaky about it. And then we would say, don't put the onus of placing your hand on someone's, you know, head and
be like
declaring
me.
Them the apprentice. But there's too many Trump jokes.
I know,
I'm just bouncing around. But you know, putting the onus of being the apprentice on them is not necessary when you can have, I mean, you know, we've got a template for, hey, you're over the socials, or you're over prayer, or you're over our serving opportunity, or you're, you know, the administrator, whatever it is. But having that be your pipeline. So training your volunteer, your leaders to pull out those people and encourage them to lead, encourage them to get this leadership training so that they're ready when you're tapping them on the shoulder.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's and that I just wanted to kind of that's give good. A little bit more flesh on that concept well, so people can see it
in the context of that group
yeah.
versus something broader. When
right.
you bring people together, the old way of doing training is you bring everybody together for half a Saturday, maybe 60% show up.
If you yeah, if you have oh, a really
great,
you have
yeah.
a really responsive
lowest common
group.
Denominator
and a great breakfast.
Yeah. And yeah. you have to have donuts.
You have
yeah.
to have Oh, you have to have good stuff
yeah.
to get 60.
Yeah,
60%
is high.
But, you know, you're bringing them together and you're training to the lowest common denominator. And we would say, no.
And you're redoing stuff over and over again.
Yeah. yeah. And God bless the person that comes for 3 years in a row.
Yep.
But what we're saying is, hey, give them the knowledge, do the knowledge transfer in advance. And when you bring them together, if we're all talking about conflict management, all of us would have a different level of proficiency around the table mm-hmm. in that. So use that knowledge and that person, that coach that comes or that, you know, leader who's been around a while comes, they're going to have specific examples of that. And you move from being the expert sage on the stage person who has to deal with all the problems and all the issues to, hey, I remember that that guy had, you know, had this specific issue in his group. I'm going to call him because... You know, I met him at the last thing. There's so many different situations where
you build a community of leaders better that way, too.
Oh, my goodness. Because when you bring them together, they're building community. Mm-hmm. They're sharing stories. There's so many things that just make that a much better experience and much more likely to actually transfer the learning.
Right. Let's hit our last question. And I think we can hit this one pretty quick, but this is just about developing content. So what are practical ways for a church to begin developing their own training content? And then what are some of the options for different areas of the church since some of that content is ministry specific?
Todd, I'd say again, start with competencies. And I would consider two things, competencies and context. So what are the competencies that we've identified that we want? And then are there things that are specific to our context that we need to be sure we train on? So what would context be? Well, our mission, our values, our strategy for how we're impacting our local community, very contextual things that you want to embed into the content of the training. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, there's training that transcends context. And so
tons.
When you have training that transcends context, you can utilize that training as it fits into the competencies that you've identified. And then you use, contextual training that you develop for things that need to be very specific to your DNA and,
right.
and where you're headed.
I would say, you know, again, you want to make sure you have alignment there as far as the different options for different areas of the church. Be sure you're having alignment there so that when somebody moves from one area to another, the core content is the same. That's vitally important. I would say we've spent a lot of time, effort, energy, and money pulling together the best competencies that we possibly can. And I would say for the vast majority of churches, we are 80% or more already there.
Yeah.
The rest is you contextualizing mm-hmm. your mission yeah. and values or contextualizing something specific like your kids' check-in. But, you know, we've gone out and got the best people we possibly could on a lot of different areas of yeah. subject matter from parking to church security. But definitely really solid in the big areas of the church. Like,
yeah.
kids ministry and small groups, all those things, very, very
student,
deep,
men's, women's. Yeah. I mean, just across the board. And a lot of that is at Ministry Grid. Again, at the beginning of the show, you heard an intro. You'll hear something at the end that lays out where you can find some of this, some more interactive training options. Just a plethora of options that Lifeway provides. And so this is not meant to be a sales pitch, but we have worked very hard to create resources that can help you with this. And so we do want you to be able to take advantage of those and find those. So that wraps up our Leadership Pipeline conversation.
Thanks for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we want to invite you one more time to join us in Nashville this October 11th through 13th for the Pipeline Conference. It's important to also note this conference did sell out last year. So if you're planning on attending, go ahead and get in early.